What a sports weekend it was. And trust me, we're going to dig into it all. This is the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast from Los Angeles. My name is Mark Elliott, and here's what's up today for Monday, August 12th, 2024. The USA men's and women's basketball teams at the Olympics were golden. We got to live it together. One more time. How did the NFL first-round quarterback draft picks do week one? We'll compare and find out. The NFL's greed is way out of control, and we got to do something about this, sports fans. We got to do something about it because time's running out. The races to be watching in Major League Baseball over the final 40 games are heating up, and we'll do a review on this. It's going to be outstanding if you're a baseball fan. You're going to love it. And my review of Hard Knocks, the New York Giants. Let's see if you noticed what I noticed. That's what's coming up on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Spotify, Amazon, Audible. You can catch it on Alexa and at BigFourSportsUSA.com. All right, let's get into it. How about the men's and women's teams? The USA basketball teams at the Olympics. I thought both teams would just walk away with the gold. They got the gold, but they didn't walk away with it. They had some competition along the way, which is a testament to how basketball around the world has changed. The men's team, I was on the edge of my seat both games. And then Steph Curry went off and went unconscious with 4 minutes left against France in the gold medal game on Saturday. He doesn't do that, we might have a completely different outcome. If you missed the game, Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, in the last 4 minutes, he started throwing up three-pointers, circus shots, and they were going in. Got hot at the right moment. So there wasn't an instant where it was so close that France could get some home cooking. Because going into this game, if you read the sports page, I talked about the 72 Olympics when Russia, there were 3 seconds left in the game, the USA was winning, and they kept letting Russia take the ball out. It took three times until Russia finally made a basket and won the game. Go back to YouTube and watch the video on the Munich Games of 1972, USA, Soviet Union. It's one of the craziest finishes of my lifetime. And I was fairly young when that happened, but I remember it like it was yesterday because we got royally screwed in that game. And I was thinking, man, if this is a close game in France, that could happen again. There was a point in the game, late in the game, where LeBron James went down the middle driving to the hoop. One of the players from France grabbed his arm, and the referees didn't make the call. My first thought was, oh, God, it's 72 all over again. But fortunately, Curry went off, was unconscious. There was no chance for any tomfoolery, no hoodwinking by the referees. Gold medal for the men. Now, the women's game yesterday, that was even more intense. I've never seen the women challenged that much in the Olympics before. But it's always bound to happen. I talked about this last week. You always worry about the sun shines on a dog's ass every now and then. It was shining on France's women on Sunday. I mean, that was a tight game. They came within 1 inch of going to overtime. Last minute shot by France. She thought she was behind the three-point line or right on it, and she was actually inside the three-point line. She makes the shot. If she was outside the three-point line, we're going to overtime where anything can happen. And obviously, the momentum would have been in France's court. But I was on the edge of my seat, man. I thought that the ladies were going to go down, but they pulled it out. So both teams win gold medals. Fabulous, fabulous Olympics. Really enjoyed the basketball games. Didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to anything else because I'm a big four sports guy, as you know. So hopefully, when the Olympics come in 2028 here to Los Angeles, I'll get to go. Now, I'm a little concerned because Mayor Karen Bass is saying the only way you can get to any of the Olympic Games in 2028 is by public transportation. It's like, no. I ain't taking transportation, public transportation to the Olympics. Won't do that. You're basically just serving up people to get attacked and robbed and all of that stuff. It's bad. Now, I'm sure they're going to clean it up for the Olympics, but I still don't trust Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. I just don't. Just don't. So we'll see. We'll see how they change things for 2028. It's 4 years away. I could be talking out of turn, but as it stands right now, No, not going to take public transportation to travel from event to event at the 2028 Olympics. NFL preseason was pretty good over the weekend. We had some pretty good games, and we got to take a look at the first round quarterbacks that were taken. Very interested in seeing Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. Now, out of those guys, who do you think was the most exciting? Who got the biggest opportunity? It was interesting to me that Drake May didn't get to see a lot of action for New England. He's a number three draft pick. He went 2 for 3 for 19 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. New England won 17-3 over Carolina. But I thought he would get more playing time because you only got three preseason games to make a decision. 2 for 3, 19 yards. Not a big game. No TDs, no interceptions. Jaden Daniels, Washington Commanders. 2 for 3, 45 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Again, I'm wondering why. Number two draft pick. Why didn't he get more playing time? Now, they only got two more games for this guy to really make a decision. So I thought again with Jaden Daniels. Didn't get enough playing time in game one. Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears. A little more action. 4 of 7, 95 yards. No TDs, no interceptions. Okay, he got his noodle wet. That's about it. Chicago won 33-6 over Buffalo. Michael Penix Jr., Atlanta Falcons. Looked fairly decent. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but he was moving the ball up and down the field when he was playing, so there's some potential there. 9 of 16, 104 yards for him. Miami beat Atlanta 20-13. We'll see if that awards him more playing time. But the two quarterbacks that stood out to me, J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, especially Bo Nix. But J.J. McCarthy, Minnesota Vikings, 11 of 17, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Minnesota came back to beat Vegas 24-23. Bo Nix, 15 of 21, 125 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, leading Denver to a 34-30 win. Now, granted, these are preseason games. This is the first. Preseason games are about player evaluation and the veterans getting their fundamentals cleaned up. You know, penalties in the NFL kill teams, so they got to get those fundamentals straight. And I think teams learn more from losses during the preseason than winning. Winning in the preseason can create a false sense of security. Last year, the Las Vegas Raiders under Josh McDaniels were undefeated in the preseason. We saw what happened during the regular season. He made it about 6 games in and they fired him. So you never judge anything by the preseason, because it is really all about player evaluation more than anything else. And that's why I was really surprised Jaden Daniels and Drake May didn't really get a good snapshot. And I'll even say the same thing about Caleb Williams. They might want to protect him a little bit. But it was an interesting first week from that perspective. I think Bo Nix answered some questions, and so did J.J. McCarthy. We'll see if they get more playing time week two coming up. The NFL's greed is getting way out of control. Saturday, I turned on my TV to watch the Raiders game with the Vikings, and it was blacked out on NFL Net. Now, first of all, this game is in Minnesota. It's a preseason game. Why is it blacked out? In Los Angeles. This is not a Los Angeles team anymore. It's not a California team. It is a Nevada team 300 miles away in Las Vegas. So why is this game blacked out when the Chargers and Rams are not playing at the same time? It irks me like you wouldn't believe. And it's just the NFL's greed and these blackout policies that they don't review and they remain in place. It was the same way when the Raiders were in Oakland. That's probably 500 miles or more away. Still blacked out in Los Angeles. The only way they get on is if it's a network game. Meaning, Sunday night, Monday, or Thursday. That's it. After playing the Rams and they play the Chargers, which they play the Chargers twice, those games will be on TV here in Los Angeles. But there's really no reason to black it out. And if I go out and buy NFL ticket, Sunday ticket, it's still blacked out in Los Angeles. So why should I pay for that? I won't pay for that. This year, I'm really, you know, I'm a huge fantasy football player. And I love Red Zone because of it. But I'm really tempted to just start boycotting anything the NFL wants to charge me money for, including merch. I'm tired of supporting the NFL that really wants to gouge us as fans. It's going to get to the point to where you're going to have to buy Sunday ticket. You're going to have to buy Prime, Netflix probably, also Apple TV. Subscribe to them to get all the games. Because eventually I think what's going to happen is your local games on Sunday, you'll probably always get your local teams if they sell out. If they don't, they'll probably go to the secondary game. But I think what you're going to find happening, any game that matters, you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to pay for it. The Super Bowl at some point is going to be pay-per-view only. And they're going to charge a couple hundred bucks for you to watch it at home. Maybe more. This is coming unless we put a stop to it by not subscribing to all of these other networks. Now, I realize the economy's tough, and you're willing to pay that money because, hey, I need some entertainment here. It's football season. I love football. But at some point, you got to send a message to the NFL that, hey, homie, don't play that anymore. Not going to go subscribe to three different networks, a streaming service, just to watch the NFL. Maybe you don't buy Red Zone this year. Maybe you boycott a little bit of this stuff. Maybe you stop buying merchandise for one season. The logos don't change. Do you really need a new jersey with another man's name on the back of it? We've talked about that before. It's odd for me to see a 35-year-old male walking around with Manning on his jersey. I saw one yesterday. That's why it's fresh in my mind. Really, you're probably in your early 40s. You're walking around with a Peyton Manning jersey with Manning on the back. It's just a very odd look for me. And maybe that's just an idiosyncrasy of mine, the ABCs of me. But still doesn't take away from the fact the NFL is going to start gouging you for every damn dime to watch their sport. They're trying to globalize it. I mean, right now, they're playing regular season games overseas, and that takes away from a home game for local fans. And you're letting it happen by not standing up and saying, stop it. So it's time to take a stand and boycott the NFL on some of this stuff and send a message that, guys, you're too greedy, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. You might not remember the network or the TV show Network from the 70s, where the mantra was, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You need to feel that. But then again, maybe you're not feeling the pain enough yet. But you got to nip this in the bud. You got to nip it in the bud. You got to nip it in the bud first before it gets way out of control. Because this continues to seep into the entertainment budget. And there's only so many dollars to go around these days. And I don't see it getting any better soon. All right, I'll get off of that soapbox because there's more exciting things like Major League Baseball's final 40 games coming up. We got some races here, folks. There's only two divisions that are really decided. Now, unless the Philadelphia Phillies and Milwaukee Brewers completely collapse the last 40 games, they've pretty much locked up their divisions right now. But the AL East with the Yankees and Orioles, the Red Sox, I think they'll fade, but they still got a small chance of getting into this race to win the division. AL Central, Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City. I mean, the first 100 games of the year, Cleveland is just running away with the AL Central. the Twins have been playing, they've snuck up on everybody. Now, they got within one game of Cleveland. They fell back over the weekend. They lost two in a row. Cleveland won two in a row. So now it's a 3.5 game gap for right now. But that's going to heat up head-to-head competition coming up between those two. The Royals have fallen back a little bit, but they're still a good ball club. They're only 4.5 back. So they're still in play in the AL Central race with 40 games to go. In the AL West, Houston and Seattle. Seattle's been leading all season. Now they're tied. Houston has been coming on. They got off to a slow start. But this is what happens in baseball over a 162-game schedule. You see Houston, you know, 15 games under 500, and you write them off. You come back 2 months later, and you go, oh, my God, they're in first place. You can't count the Astros out. So that's going to be a good race coming down the line. Then you got the National League West. Yeah, I live in Los Angeles, folks, but I'm a diehard Cincinnati Reds fan. I'd love to see the Dodgers spend megabucks more than anybody else to basically fill an all-star team. And they're being challenged by the Padres and Diamondbacks, who have maybe, you know, I know the Padres spend a little bit of money, but the Diamondbacks are probably one-third of the Dodgers' payroll, right on their ass. Gotta love that. You gotta love that. Because you know the one thing that's going to happen in the playoffs if they make it, Clayton Kershaw is going to, as he does every playoff season when the Dodgers get in, a little chokes. Kind of feel like the Dodgers are choking. Dodgers are great, man. On paper, they look good. I mean, hell, I enjoyed the Reds sweeping them this year when the Reds weren't playing their best baseball. The Reds have on this tear that they get to three games below 500, then they lose two in a row. It's been happening all season. They're losing one-run games where they won them last year. This year, they're losing them. That's baseball. It just happens that way. But it's notorious. They get to three games under 500, and they fall back two. They were three games under 500 heading into the series this weekend with Milwaukee, lost two. Won the game yesterday, so they only lost one game in the standings. But and even as bad as they've played this year, they're still in the wild card race. These wild card races are heating up, especially in the National League. I mean, you know, teams under five games out for the wild card. It can be either the Yankees or Orioles, whichever one. Right now, the Orioles are leading the division. That bumps the Yankees down to a wild card team. Could go either way. But you got the Twins, Royals, Mariners, and Red Sox all under five games out, a wild card race with, you know, 40, 42 games to go. So they're still in it. National League, check this out. The Padres, Diamondbacks, Braves, Mets, Cardinals, Giants, Cubs, Reds, Pirates, 40 games to go. They're all still in the wild card race, all five games or less out. So whoever gets the hottest over the last 6 weeks of the season is going to get in the wild card race. And the Mets are another team. The Mets, if you remember, early in this year, everybody had written the Mets off. And they're like the Astros. They have got off to a lousy start, but they have snuck up on everybody. So going down the last 40 games, man, it's going to be fun in those races. All right, did you see the show Hard Knocks? This year was the New York Giants. I thought it was well done. I enjoy Hard Knocks. You know, people get too into it, I think, too judgmental about it. But I thought, you know, it was a shorter series this year. I think 3.5 episodes is what it turned out to be. The final episode was like a half hour, something like that. But it was interesting to go inside the New York Giants organization and see how they operate things. Now, granted, I think they cut some of the drama that you might normally see when the cameras weren't there. But if this is the way the Giants organization operates, these are just some cool dudes. You know, John Mora, owner of the team, he's involved, but he's not dominating. Okay, lets Joe Shane do his job as a general manager. He trusts his hire, and that's what you do. That's a good culture move. Let your GM and coaches do their jobs, okay? What you could tell is that these guys have clearly defined roles. Shane has his role, Brian Gable has his role, interacts with the general manager the way they're supposed to. Now, it didn't seem to be, they were a pretty chill organization for New York. So that's why I'm thinking they were kind of chilled out a little bit because of the cameras. But the way that they went through the process of getting ready for the NFL draft and leading up to the draft, just thought it was fascinating how they did that. And of course, you can't help, if you've seen the movie Draft Day, you start thinking, okay, how does that compare with Draft Day? Well, Draft Day is a movie, so it's going to have some entertainment value to it. So they're going to embellish. But I like the Giants and the way their organization operated. I had have a whole new respect for the New York Giants, and they might surprise some people this year. These guys have it together. They're not a Johnny-come-lately organization. I was really, really impressed with the New York Giants. All right, let's do some Chatbox is back. You know, I took a little bit of a sabbatical, came back, and there wasn't a lot of stuff in the chat box because I wasn't promoting it a whole lot. But we got a couple here that were interesting that I pulled off this morning. Tad from Cedar Rapids, Iowa said, LeBron James snubbed a kid in France, refusing to stop and give him an autograph. What are your thoughts? Say, well, I saw the clip on that. I know people are trying to make it out to be more than what it really is. I mean, you know, these athletes, he just won the gold. He probably stopped and signed some autographs earlier. He's trying to get to his destination. He's got bodyguards around him, and he probably had, you know, zoned out from autograph mode. I wouldn't read anything more into it other than he had some place to go, and kid's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay, athletes are humans. They probably appreciate their privacy more than anybody else, because there's a time when they have to be on and there's a time where they just don't want to be on. And just because you're standing there wanting an autograph doesn't necessarily mean they have to do it. It'd be nice, but they don't have to do it. So I don't hold that against LeBron James at all. When I saw a guy who was trying to get to a destination as quickly as possible, and he wasn't in the mood to sign autographs at that time. All right, Jake from Dover, Massachusetts said, I read your piece on your sports page, taking up for Jason Tatum, not getting enough minutes at the Olympics. It took balls for a Lakers fan to do that. Thank you. Well, Jake, when I see injustice anywhere, I have to draw attention to it, Lakers fan or not. Yeah, I'm not a huge Boston Celtics fan. How could I be, being a lifelong Lakers fan? But yeah, I'm not a fan of Steve Kerr either. He's a political correct, I don't want to call him a name here, I'm trying to be a gentleman. Let's just say he's a PC character, okay? The first game, he didn't play Tatum at all. And he's like, oh, how stupid of me. How could I do that? It's like, okay, here we go. Mr. Passive Aggressive, I'm a dummy, please forgive me, you know, playing that game. He knew what he was doing. Bob Cousy, the legend Bob Cousy, he called Kerr out on it, saying you're not giving Tatum enough minutes. This guy just led the Celtics to the world championship. He's one of the top NBA players in the world. And I guess the reason why I take up for Tatum is that I always wanted him to be the Lakers' number one draft pick in 2017. But the genius Magic Johnson decided, no, give me Lonzo Ball instead. Celtics get Tatum. God, that burns me up. Every time I see Tatum on the court, I think of that. Irks me to no end. That in the NBA draft, Magic wanted to say, here's the second Magic Johnson. We're going to build from the point guard. Yeah. Bet you'd rather have Tatum now, wouldn't you? But no. Kerr played mind games with Tatum in the Olympics. And I know there's this idea that seniority takes place over some of the younger players in the league. But here's what I'm looking forward to now. Boston will only play Golden State two games during the regular season. But you watch Tatum go off on the Warriors. I have circled the dates on my calendar for those games because I want to see Jason Tatum single-handedly destroy the Golden State Warriors. You know it's going to happen. You know he's going to light him up for 40-plus both games. You know it's going to happen. You know, you don't get to that level and not be competitive. He's a professional. But yet, inside, you know. You know he's got a Steve Kerr doll putting needles in his eyeballs right now, just waiting for the regular season to come up. And Golden State plays Boston those two games. And I think he's really going to light them up in Golden State, to be quite honest with you. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I expect out of Jason Tatum after the lack of minutes that he got. And it's not just the lack of minutes. It's when he was played. When the game was on the line, he had Tatum on the bench. That's what irks me more than anything. And fortunately for Steve Kerr, his guy, Steph Curry, went off the last 4 minutes to seal the deal. Because I don't know if he'd be allowed back into the USA. He certainly wouldn't be welcome in Boston. And he might not be welcome in Boston anyway. We'll see. But if the United States had lost at the Olympics because he did not play Tatum, you know, that's one of the things all the sports pundits would have pointed to. The lack of consistent play and when Jason Tatum was used. All right, that was a long explanation on that, but I'm just looking forward to those matchups next season. Got to have a story, got to have a reason to want to watch. Well, that's it. How will Tatum respond to the Warriors and Steve Kerr next season? All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. The conversation continues on X. Search for Big Four Sports USA. You can also catch the Big Four Sports page at BigFourSportsUSA.com for articles between podcasts. You can also message us on our chat box, too, if you got something that you disagree with that I've said on this podcast. We'll do this again next Monday, August 19th. Game over.